Hey guys, what's up and welcome back to another episode of Homebrewed Evil. Now, have you guys heard of the term Tinder Swindler? It is a pretty popular term, but in case you haven't, let me just give you the rundown. Tinder Swindler basically gained popularity from a Netflix documentary released in 2022. And it, you know, basically it's about a man named Simon who allegedly used the dating app Tinder to meet women, gain their trust, and then defraud them of large sums of money. The documentary tells the stories of several women who fell victim to his schemes. And the term has since been used more broadly to refer to individuals who use online dating platforms to deceive and scam others for financial or personal gain. And we've heard of many cases of Tinder swindlers all across the globe, but what if I told you that we have our very own local swindler, scammer, right here in Singapore? Now, before I get into the case, please, let me just do a quick disclaimer that all of the information that I'm sharing, it's public record, everything is accessible on the internet. Many local news sites have already interviewed all of the victims and the accused. Let's get into it. Imagine you are a real estate agent and a man approaches you saying he is Park Joon-hyung. He's a Singaporean, but he has an extremely wealthy Korean father. He shares that his inheritance is coming in soon and he would love to build a collection of trophy properties with a budget of $20 million per house. You look at him, doesn't really fit the profile, doesn't really look like a very rich man, but you're like, you know what, let's not judge. There are so many rich men who dress extremely humbly, who look extremely humble and simple. So you work with him, you're hired, okay? He hires you for your services and you bring him back to back all around Singapore. Okay, well, not all around Singapore because he wants high-end property. So you bring him to places like Orchard Road. I don't mean like condominiums, but penthouses. And he's there taking selfies of himself in every house that you bring him to. Again, you're skeptical. You've been in this industry for so many years and he just doesn't seem to fit the profile. But again, you don't judge. You just do your job. And house by house that you bring him, he's interested. He's like, okay, I want to buy this house. And he never, ever, ever negotiates the price, which is the biggest red flag to you. Because given your past experience, no matter how wealthy a man is, he will always, 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 always try to negotiate the price. But this man, this Park Joon-hyung, does not negotiate the price. He proceeds to put an OTP down. It means that no one else can view the property and it's exclusively only for Park Joon-hyung to continue proceeding with the purchasing should he choose. And usually you put a 1% deposit of the house price. So for example, one of the houses that he put an OTP down for is a penthouse in Bishan worth $5.5 million. So he wrote a check for $5,500 and he gave it to the agent. And he did this not just for one house but for a few houses, and the collective amount of OTP that he paid for the different properties were at $140 million. So obviously the property agent is extremely skeptical because, you know, they took his IC, and in his NRIC, his identity card, it is reflected that he was currently living in a HDB flat. And again, they were like, you know, it's just not adding up. But they proceeded to write his details down and they went back into the office and they did a scan, a check of his details against the MAS, Monetary Authority of Singapore's watch list, and a few other blacklists to check if his name was anywhere on the record. But nothing alarming came up. there was no record, so they were like, okay, this seems clean. And they also did a quick Google search of his father's name that he told them, and it checked out. He is a rich and wealthy Korean man. But obviously they didn't do any further research to prove, so they just proceeded to work on the necessary payments, paperworks, and deposited the checks to developers. And well, what do you know? It bounces. It fails. Why? Because he's not Park Jun-hyung. He is Gerald Lo Jin-young. He does not have a rich father who is Korean. He does not have an inheritance coming. What is the reason for this elaborate scheme, you might ask? Merely to brag to his friends that he can afford such properties. And remember the selfies that he took in the houses? Yeah. So he would post them on Facebook, and that was the main point of going to visit these houses, is to have those images and to have the official documents that he paid for the OTP. And that's all Jared wanted from this exchange, the images and the official documents, because he was going to use those two to continue scamming more and more people. And while this might seem like a harmless scam, this is just the very beginning and one of the first few scams he pulled. From 2017 to 2020, Gerald has scammed men and women out of more than $150,000. Now, before we meet his victims, let's talk about who Gerald is and why he went around scamming, leaving a trail of victims. Gerald is a child of divorce, as he describes himself. He lived with his mom and grandmother. He was often bullied in school for not having a father figure. And when he was old enough, he was the sole carer for his very sick grandmother and his mother. His mom's salary was never enough to sustain the whole family, along with, you know, their grandmother's medical bills. And Gerald he was desperate to get rich fast so that he could help his family with the bills. And this is what he shares. This is his reason for committing the crimes that he committed. So he went on to Google and he searched how to be rich fast. And among the many results, one caught his eye. It was a step-by-step guide on how to scam people into giving you money. And he studied it and followed it step by step. And this is how Gerald became Singapore's swindler, who at one point had 5 out of 7 police divisions in Singapore investigating him. The real estate scam that he pulled was the very first step, taking pictures in penthouses and obtaining documentations of down payment. Now, we move on to his second step, which is Gerald's very first victim, Terrence. So Terrence and Gerald, they actually go way back. They went to the same secondary school together. And this is in 2018. So Gerald reaches out to Terrence via Facebook, sends a message to Terrence being like, hey, I saw that you're an MLM and I'm very, very keen. So basically, for those of you who don't know MLM, I feel like every Singaporean knows this, but MLM is basically multi-level marketing. It is businesses that involve selling products to family and friends and then continuing the process of recruiting other people to do the same. And it goes on and on and on. And so Gerald, you know, shares very keen interest, and he says that, you know, I have friends and families and relatives who are also very keen to join, and we're just, you know, searching for the right outlet. So Terrence invites Gerald to come down for the training, and, you know, Gerald comes down. He's extremely attentive, he's taking notes, he's being a very good student, he's asking all the right questions. And at this point, Terrence has a very, very good impression of Gerald. And he always had a very good impression of Gerald since secondary school. He always thought that Gerald was a very quiet, very good boy. And he also shared that seeing all of the selfies that Gerald posts on his Facebook of him being in all of these luxury houses, he thought that Gerald was very well-to-do. One day, Gerald speaks to Terrence and he says that he has a business proposition to start a bubble tea shop called Fitness Tea. Now, at this point, Terrence was working part-time as a personal trainer, so he absolutely loved the idea of a healthy bubble tea alternative. Immediately, Terrence was on board and they went to get their business registered officially. And Gerald told Terrence, "Don't worry about anything, okay? I will take care of everything." First order of business, they both went to a telco shop to get some mobile lines for their store. So they got 6 mobile lines with the latest phones. And right when they're about to register, you know, Gerald was like, "Hey, Terrence, why don't you take charge of this? Why don't we register this under your name?" So when you register for telco services, obviously it has to be registered under your NRIC. Terrence gave his NRIC and everything got registered under his name. And Gerald said, "Don't even worry about the payments. You know, you can reimburse the payments at the end of the month with the company. And obviously, the lines, the bills, just give them to the company at every end of the month and I will reimburse it. Don't worry about a thing." As this is happening, he starts printing name cards and putting up advertisements for job vacancies. And now we meet our second victim, a woman named Jenna. So Jenna sees the advert and applies for the job. She was soon invited down by Gerald for an interview and was immediately hired. She was tasked firstly to get office inventory, and after work she would buy them on her way home and then bring them back home. And her dad thought that it was very strange for her to be coming home with such bulk purchases for office, and he asked her, like, "What are these for?" She would say, "Oh, it's for office, you know, we're just setting up, we're a small company, so I'm helping to buy everything. And, you know, my boss will reimburse me all of this at the end of the month." And her dad thought that it was very strange at first, but then later was like, "Okay, you know what, maybe it is because it's a very small startup." So he brushed his worry off. And then eventually, a little later, Gerald told Jenna to go get a mobile line at a telco. So Jenna went to register a telco and a brand new mobile under her name, and she came home with it. And in the middle of the night, Gerald called her saying that he immediately needed the phone then and there at night. And this is what really set the alarms off for Jenna's dad, is when he saw her leaving the house in the middle of the night, and he was asking her, like, "Why can't you just do it during office hours tomorrow? Why does he have to have the phone right now in the middle of the night?" And she just, you know, brushed it off, saying, "Oh, I really don't know, but my boss says that he wants it now, so I'm going to give it to him now." And, you know, her dad was already really against it, and he was advising her to leave the job. And at this point, I would like to say that Jenna has a brother, so she also got a job for Jenna's brother in the same shop working under Gerald. Gerald had gotten hold of Jenna's brother's NRIC and driver's license details as well. And one of, you know, Jenna's brother's job was to rent cars for the company. Now, just keep this information in the back of your mind because it will come back out for his next scam. So we'll just focus on Jenna first. So one day, Jenna comes home and tells her father that, "Oh, Gerald proposed to me and we are going to get married. He is very wealthy. He promised to make me a very wealthy woman. He said that he will take very good care of me, that, you know, I will live a very luxurious life. And I know he's telling the truth because he showed me all of these documents where he made down payment for houses, legal documents. And I've seen all of the pictures of him in these houses. And I'm going to get married to him and there's nothing you can do to stop it." The dad was absolutely shocked and he said that, "You know, don't you think that families need to meet first? Don't you think that he should ask for your hand in marriage?" why, how can he just propose to you without getting the family's approval and blessings, and you cannot get married behind your entire family's back? That's just not the way things work. And he immediately shut everything down. But eventually, she did get registered for marriage with Gerald behind her entire family's back. But I think her mom found out and told her dad. Her dad absolutely forbade it and did not allow her to go down to the office to officially get registered for marriage. She was absolutely heartbroken, but thankfully, the marriage did not go through, the registry did not go through. Soon after, Gerald completely ghosted Jenna as well. And Jenna actually suffered really, really badly from depression, and shortly she was admitted into the Institute of Mental Health for depression and anger, and just she was in a very bad state. So remember the mobile phone that she got? So the bills for the mobile phones kept coming to her house, about $6,000 worth of just telephone bills coming to her house month after month after month. They had no choice but to pay. Obviously, the dad reported all of this to the police. And the same thing happened to Terrence, his business partner. Terrence was getting mobile bills, phone bills, up to $10,000. And this was not just the bills, but also with the termination fees. Terrence was confronting Gerald, and Gerald just was so upset. He started to guilt trip Terrence, saying, "How can you do this to me? How can you speak to me like this? We are business partners. If you don't have trust, then there is no business." And he just blocked Terrence. So Terrence was left with a $10,000 debt. And he reported it to the police, just as Jenna's dad reported Gerald to the police. And it's really sad because Terrence, he had a lot of shame and a lot of guilt when he approached his family to speak about this debt that he was in. But thankfully, his family helped him to pay the bills back, and he's free from debt. But he really lives with a lot of shame and guilt, and he feels like he's disappointed his family, and he is slowly working into recovering himself. And just as Jenna, she really went through heartbreak and betrayal and confusion. So she, is being treated at the Institute of Mental Health, and even for this case, she refused to speak to any of the authorities. Mostly, it was all handled by her dad, who spoke to a lot of the news sites for information. And while these two cases were being investigated by the police, now you think he's done? Absolutely not. While he is scamming Terrence and Jenna and Jenna's brother, he is on Grindr meeting a man named Sam. Sam is also one of Gerald's victims. So Sam and Gerald went on a few dates, and each time he would show up to these dates in different cars. Cars that Jenna's brother uses his license to rent. Now he drove Sam to all of the penthouses that he paid an OTP for, saying that, "Oh, this is one of my property investments," showing him the OTP documentations. And he said the same thing. He said, "I'm Singaporean, Korean, my father's a rich Korean man, and these are all of my trophy properties. I also have a business not called Fitness Tea." They were hanging out and meeting a lot, and Sam would often talk to Gerald saying, like, "I want to be like you. I want to be rich too. I want to earn some extra money beyond my paycheck." And Gerald said, "Oh, okay. Like, why don't I help you? So I'm just about to buy more properties, and I have to let go some of my old ones. Do you want to buy one of the properties off of me? I will obviously give you at a much more special rate than I would give my other buyers." Sam was excited. He agreed, and he immediately paid a deposit of $4,200. He did not check to see if this is true, if he really did own the property, but solely on trust, he paid the deposit. Eventually, Sam was also sharing details about his investment under his SGX account, which is Singapore Exchange account. And Gerald said, "You're honestly not doing very well, you know. Why don't you transfer your SGX funds to me and I will help your portfolio and returns increase? Like, because I'm obviously doing so much better than you and I would love to help you as well." After a lot of persuasion, Sam finally agrees and transfers money over to Gerald. Gerald also convinced Sam to take loans from the bank and from legal money lenders for more funds for investment purposes. So all of his details, like his debit card and his digital token, for Gerald to have just full authority and full ownership and control over all of Sam's money. Now, I think that maybe Sam really liked Gerald as more than just a friend, for him to have this utmost trust in him. And later, when Gerald went on a holiday to London, Sam was texting him saying that, "Hey, the money lenders just showed up at my house. I thought that you were paying them the interests. I thought that you were paying the monthly bills. Like, why are they finding me?" When he logged onto his bank account to make the payments, he realized that there was no money in his bank account at all. Everything was wiped clean. He was really worried and really scared and very heartbroken, and he confronted Gerald, asking him why would he lie, why would he cheat, why would he put Sam in a position like this. And all Gerald could say was, "I am on a holiday and you can't even trust me. You're ruining my holiday. I'm supposed to be having fun right now, and you, with all of your questions and accusations, you're really killing the vibe for me." Sam was very heartbroken, and Gerald also completely ghosted Sam. And on top of all of this, on top of the property, on top of the investment, Sam also took some loans on behalf of Gerald for the fitness tea business and also for mobile lines. And Sam was at a complete loss of $100,000. And till now, Sam is still in debt. And soon after Gerald ghosted Sam, Sam went to the police and immediately reported Gerald. Let's just recap some of the cases against him. So we obviously had the property agent report him for $140 million of false OTP, and Terrence for $10,000 of mobile line bill charges. Jenna for $6,000 worth of mobile charges. And finally, Sam for about $100,000 for bank loans for investment, legal money lender loans for investment, money loan for the fitness tea bubble tea shop, and finally for mobile phones as well. And on top of all of this, earlier, he also wrote himself a check for deposit for $1 trillion. Trillion, okay? Trillion. I just want to emphasize this. Obviously, the check didn't even go through into processing, because as soon as the bank saw this number, they immediately reported it to the police. He is being charged with all of these offenses. He's arrested and he's charged, and he's been offered a bail of $15,000, which was paid by his mom. And while you're out on bail, you usually do your best to be in good behavior while you wait for your court sentencing. But no, not Gerald, okay? Gerald went right back out there and he got busy again. He was scamming more people, different people, in new ways. This was when almost 5 out of 7 divisions in Singapore were having open investigations on Gerald and on all of these scam cases. And that is when the police charged him for all of these fresh cases. While all of this was happening, while the police was gathering evidence for the court case, out of the blue, out of nowhere, the unthinkable happens. Gerald himself comes down to report to the police to pin himself as the victim. He said that he wants to file a report against his partner who raped him, coerced him, physically and verbally abused him to do all of the scams that he did and all of the scams that he was charged for. And at this point, the police were actually very taken aback. They were worried that they charged the wrong person. They charged an innocent victim. And they, you know, thought that they made a misjudgment based on all of the interviews and all of the facts that they gathered. So they sat Gerald's partner down and they interviewed Gerald's partner. Everything matched, everything aligned. All of the facts were correct. And at this point, the police, they were just so shocked. They were questioning, what did we miss? How did we misassess the situation? So they went through back again and they aligned both the interviews, they aligned both the facts. Everything they put side by side and they checked through. They cross-referenced. All of this took 9 months of police work and they finally found that the timelines did not align. Gerald had already started his scamming way, way, way before he even met his partner. So there is no way his partner could have ever coerced him to do the scams. So with that, the police charged him with one more offense for false report and for wasting 9 months of police work and efforts. Which is just, I don't know what to say. I'm speechless at this point. So obviously in June 2021, Gerald pleads guilty for everything, for all of the charges. And he is on bail at this moment waiting for his sentencing. And finally, the sentence date arrives and he is expected to be at court, but he does not show up and he gives in MC, a medical cert. The court understandably proceeds to postpone the sentencing to another day, and that day comes and again Gerald doesn't show up to court. He sends another MC again, and at this point the police are wondering, what is going on? Why is he having so many MCs? So they take a look at the document and it is proven to be forged through an editing software. The police at this point are very frustrated, so they decide to stake him out for an arrest. So they didn't want to directly go into his house because they are afraid that if they go into his house and knock the door, he will just panic and delete everything off of his computer. But they need the proof and evidence that he has the software that edited the MC. Police are also afraid that if they go to the house and Gerald is not at home, the mom and the grandma will alert and call Gerald to make a run for it. So they had to be very, very, very careful about how they stake out his area to catch him, to arrest him. So they ended up getting his mom's hospital appointment details. So his mom also suffers from cancer. And as the sole caregiver for his mom and grandma, he is the one who brings them for the appointments. So while they are coming back home from the appointment, the police surrounded the area discreetly in regular plain clothes while they spotted him and his mom walking back home. They stopped him, confirmed his identity, and then proceeded to arrest him. They brought him to his house to gather all of the evidence and to raid his house. While they went into the house, the police officer mentioned that it just completely was warm, was stale, extremely dark. There were piles and piles of rubbish. The floor was absolutely covered with wires and hangers and takeout boxes and takeout bags and clothes. And the police, you know, they had to do a thorough raid and they had to really sieve through all of the rubbish to finally find the laptop in which he used to forge the medical cert. This is what his lawyer shared, that the reason why he took MC over and over again instead of attending his court hearing was because His grandmother is very ill with pneumonia, and he just wanted to spend more time with his grandma before going into prison. And his grandma did pass away soon after he was arrested, so it just absolutely did not occur to Gerald to just explain his situation to the judge for the judge to give him some time out. So eventually, 4 years of scamming with a total of 10 victims with over 52 charges, Gerald was given a 57-month imprisonment. There was a total of 10 victims, and I only shared 3 victims' stories with you, but the rest were mostly similar to Sam's story, where they met on the dating app Grindr and were tricked into believing that he was a rich Korean heir and convinced them to take mobile lines and with the latest mobiles for him, similarly to what he did with Sam. And one of his victims was as young as a bachelor's student who was, you know, he caught on to the scam and demanded Gerald to repay the money. And Gerald went as far as to hire a law firm, to hire a lawyer, and to lie to this lawyer that it was actually the student who owed Jared the money, just to scare the student, which I think it's just so jaw-dropping that the audacity he has to go to such lengths. And the victims have shared that, you know, they still feel a great sense of shame, and one of the victims also shared that they have a really hard time accepting what happened, and they would often Google to see where they went wrong, what was the red flag that they missed, how could they have avoided this. I think it's just searching for answers on how they could have avoided such incidents. So Gerald's partner, who was claimed to have forced Gerald to do the scams, is still currently under investigation for his action of lying to the police, but it is said that Gerald was the one who convinced him to take the fall for him. The first 4 months of being in jail, his mom visited him regularly. She was extremely shocked when she heard about the sentence because she didn't know that he did something of this magnitude, of this scale. She didn't expect it. After 4 months of visiting him, on the 5th month, she did not come to visit him, and the police let him know that his mom had actually passed on from her cancer. And this is the sad part. During his interview, he shared that it's not worth it. Like, what he did was just not worth it, and that he regrets making his mom suffer. He feels like his mom should not have suffered for what he did. He has a lot of remorse for what he did. He said that he completely understands what he did was wrong and that it can't be undone, but he apologizes to all of the victims and he hopes that they know that he's a changed person now. The chief psychologist at Ministry of Home Affairs and also Singapore's very first criminal forensic psychologist, Dr. Majid, has weighed in on this case. He has been working on studying and researching scammers and have shared that serial swindlers tend to exhibit similar personality traits. They are often resourceful and detail-oriented with extremely high IQ. They also possess narcissistic qualities and completely lack empathy. He also shared that serial swindlers have a high chance of re-offending once out. I think we can definitely see some of the resemblance in Gerald's scam, how he went ahead to print name cards, he put out job advertisements, he went as far as to register his business and put in the effort of getting OTP instead of just merely lying. He, you know, went the extra steps to ensure that all the documentation was on hand for him to carry out the following scams. And I also just want to say that scam cases in Singapore is at a 50% increase. Some of the 5 top scams in Singapore is job scams, e-commerce scams, fake friend call scams, phishing scams, and finally investment scams. As much as the majority of victims are the older seniors in Singapore, very vulnerable age group, there are also a lot of younger people who are getting susceptible to the scams, especially for job scams, e-commerce scams, or phishing scams. So please, please, please be extra precautious when you do anything on your phone. Take care of everyone around you. If you know your mom or dad are very vulnerable, like, let them know, advise them, educate them, tell them what to look out for. And yeah, that's it, guys, for today's story. What do you guys think about this case? I don't know how to feel about it. Do you guys believe that he did this to pay for his grandmother's hospitalization bills and all of his family's debts? Do you think he truly feels remorse? Do you think the psychologist shared that there is a high possibility of swindlers, serial swindlers, reoffending? Do you think that when Gerald is out, he will reoffend again? Let me know your thoughts. And if there's any other cases that you guys want me to talk about, let me know as well. Give me some ideas. I will see you guys next time.